congregation, in the first place, a blessed new year 2019. May the Lord give his indispensable blessings upon you personally. I feel very blessed that I've received so far the strength to preach the Word of God. In the beginning of this year, 2018, I was often barely able to finish a sermon. I began to blur my words. And no wonder some elderly people were not able to understand me anymore. From hindsight, I should have taken the medication that was prescribed. I refused to do that. I now feel sorry that I didn't. According to the specialist, I belong to the few for whom the medication has worked so well. And I'm glad I can still be your full-time pastor. And thank you for your prayers you have sent up. It's often a holy pleasure to study the scriptures and to also pass on the message I found unto you. I love preaching even more than I did in the past, I would say. Again, thank you for your prayers, your patience, your support, your love. Some people have wondered about the future, about retirement. You know, may the Lord give me the will to retire when I have to. But I sometimes think of Reverend Dan Hood and Franklin Lakes, or one of our dear brothers. He's 85. Still full-time pastor. You know, deep down, that's my desire, that they may serve another 20 years among you. Might not be realistic, but I can't help it. It's my desire to continue to preach the word, and the Lord's will be done. We have to follow. Together we stand at the beginning of 2019, my 23rd year among you. May the Lord bless us all together, bless his word, bless you, bless you with spiritual brokenness, with true repentance. Why do I love to see that? With a true faith that coming unto Jesus, that taking a refuge unto him, may the Lord give that comfort, the only real comfort, assurance to his people, holiness and real joy in Christ with an increasing knowledge of him. Dear congregation, consistory, custodians, ushers, children, catechism classes, confession class, elderly, teachers, care aides, boards, committees, societies, thank you for the hard work. And with my wife and family, I would like to wish you again a blessed new year. And now the first sermon of this year. I had to think about fear. You know, some of you are fearful. And sometimes I don't know about that fear that you are experiencing. Sometimes I do and have an idea of it. So I've been thinking about fear and about who should not fear and who should fear. So then I found a text from Genesis 15, verse 1. And that's the text. Let me first read the text. Genesis 15, the first verse. After these things, after what things? After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. So the theme is, Abram, don't fear. Three thoughts. Because God is your shield. Secondly, because God is your exceeding great reward. And in the third place, because of God's promise. Because of God's promise to you. So Abraham, do not fear because God is your shield. Because God is your exceeding great reward. And because of God's promises to you. Congregation, the future is uncertain. You know, we are not almighty like God is. God is an almighty God, independent, self-sufficient. We are just creatures, weak creatures. We would like to do this, but we can't. And we can't protect ourselves, not really help ourselves. But the Lord rules. He governs all things, and we depend upon Him. You know, some of you fear, right, about losing your job. You fear because you won't like to lose your mother or your father. You fear to remain single. You fear to die. You fear that you won't have children. You fear you won't have more children. You fear maybe that you become homeless. You fear that you'll lose your mind. You fear for your husband's situation, for your wife's situation. And you can think of many more things. You fear. There are many depths. Right? We talk about all those deep depths, but many depths we fear to fall in. Many walk in fear. Others stick their head in the sand and just deny everything. They are in denial. Others intoxicate themselves and they drink because they don't have to think about all those concerns, and the anxiety is away a little bit. And that's why they drink alcohol or use cannabis. It's to intoxicate themselves because they fear. Because there is damage in the soul, because they feel better if they use. And others work hard, work very, very hard just to tune things out and to not be too worried about things. So what does the Bible say? Fear not. Some say, see, that means just don't worry. Just have to believe. You have to just simply trust God. Is that right? Can you just say to anybody, just don't fear, just trust? It sounds like that everyone is saved then, right? That everyone has received forgiveness. When you say, don't fear, and you say, it's all good. Is it? Is it all good? Can you say to anybody, it's all good, don't fear? I'm afraid you can't say that. I'm not going to tonight, this morning. I'm not going to. I'm not going to say to all of you individually, just don't fear. Just trust you will be okay. I'm not going to say that. I hope I can show you a way to that. I hope to show you there is a path to that not fearing. But you can't just start with that. But just don't fear. You know, I found out in all those texts in the Bible, the fear not texts, there are more than 60 of them. More than 60 verses in the Bible, don't fear. And they're all addressed to God's people. Fear not. I will show you. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram, unto him personally, for a reason. saying, "Fear not, Abraham. I am thy shield, I am, and thy exceeding great reward." So let us just pause here and think. After these things, what things? Fear not. Was he? Was he fearful? Was he trembling? Yes, he was. Abraham was fearful. That's why. He says, "Lord came into a vision, fear not." Why would the Lord say, "Fear not," if he would not have feared? Of course, he feared. What happened then? Well, you should read the previous chapter at home, the 14th chapter. There was war in the valley, in the area. Five kings against four, with many names of all those kings and those kingdoms. You break your tongue over. You may want to read them yourself. But one of them was Chedorlaomer, one of those kings. And he conquered some of the other smaller kingdoms, for example, Sodom. He came to Sodom, he destroyed the city. He took the people, he took the cattle, he took all the goods, and he moved on and went north in the direction of Damascus. And Abram cared about all that. Why? Because Lot, his nephew Lot, was part of them. They took him captive with his wife and his dear ones and his cattle and his stuff. And of course, Abram, Uncle Abram, felt the responsibility. I have to deliver him. And he made ready his 318 servants. The well-trained servants, trained in martial arts and archery and riding camels, very trained soldiers, 318. How can you win a war with 318 warriors? But he was smart and he divided them into groups and he ambushed them and he slew Chedorlaomer and he took all the goods back and all the people and Lot included. And the king of Sodom was so happy. King Bera was so happy. And he said, "You know, Abram, you may have all the goods and all the cattle. Just leave the people to us." And Abram said, "No, I'm not going to take anything. I only felt the responsibility to free you." But as you understand, he went home. And now he's constantly looking over his shoulder. Will they come back? Because there's a trick, some tactics, he was able to conquer them. But they were in the majority. He had such an enemy, such an army. So for sure he will come after him and conquer him and kill him. And he thought, "I can't sleep. I'm worried. They are coming back after these things." But you know how kind of the Lord, that the Lord came unto him for the first time ever to someone in a vision. He saw something. He didn't dream. He received a vision. And in that vision, the Lord came and said, "Fear not, Abraham. Fear not." Why not? "Fear not, Abraham. I am thy shield." That's the first thought. I am thy shield. You know what the shield is for, right? To hold it up. To hide behind some. You have those round shields and small shields. You have also huge ones in the Bible. You can just sit behind them and completely be covered. So those fiery arrows would hit a shield and not you. That's for your protection. And the Lord said, "I am your shield." You know, let me prove that from the Bible. that the Lord is speaking to his Abraham people, to his children. Fear not, thou worm, Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, said the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Or think of Isaiah 43, fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. Fear not, little flock. All those fear not texts are all about. Don't fear, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Or think of Revelation 1, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand on me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. You know, someone in church this morning feels kind of angry now. It's always the same. The comfort for God's people, the comfort for the elect, the comfort for the believers, the comfort for the repenting. And I'm sitting here in church and I don't have anything like that. And I feel excluded. I feel overlooked. It's all about God's people and not about me. I feel excluded. You know, let me be honest with you. You that feel excluded. And I say, fear not, little flock. Fear not, people of God. And you feel excluded. I was going to tell you something. I say it gently. You are excluding yourself. You are unwilling yourself. That door of the Lord is open to become your shield, to become your exceeding great reward. But you don't want to. It's you, it's not the Lord's fault that you don't belong to that people yet. It's your own fault. Your deep fall in Adam, right? And since that time, our resistance and unwillingness. Like Stephen said to the Pharisees, ye always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers also ye. So I am not excluding you, and the Lord is not. You are excluding yourself. You listen to this sermon, hear then that God's people don't have to fear. And that the major thing is, the main thing is to become God's people. Fear. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by the day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, not for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but shall not come nigh thee. See, the Lord saying to Abraham, and to all of them that trust in him, I am thy shield. Now look at that. It doesn't say, I'm willing to become your shield. It doesn't say, hide behind that shield. It says it emphatically as a statement, not as an encouragement only, as a statement, I am. If you feel it or not feel it, believe it or not believe it, Abraham, whatever happens in the future, I am thy shield. So are you one of the Lord's? Are you one of those followers of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you left the city of destruction? And have you come through that gate? Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Him having been revealed to your heart? Are you seeing the Son of God? Do you know that leaning on Him? Do you know something like Abraham? Abraham, you know, you read the previous chapters. The Lord had called him out of Ur of the Chaldeans. He had to leave. Get out of there. Get out of there. Where do I need to go? To land that I will show you. What is the land? You will see later. Just go. And he did. He obeyed the Lord. He's one of his following as in the desert, following as a pilgrim, traveling into the new country, the promised land. If you travel along with Abraham, I am thy shield. You know, the Bible is clear about that. And as you know, there is someone who had no shield. You think of him on the cross. No protection whatsoever. Nobody, nothing to hide behind. And he received the full attack. The full anger of God. He was exposed. Completely exposed to the wrath of God and the animosity of the people. He had no shield. In order to be the shield. So I have to say well to them that know the Lord. I am thy shield. Let's go to the second thought. And thy exceeding great reward. You know, go back to the previous chapter. As I told you, Abram said to the king of Sodom, I don't need anything. Keep it. Because then what's going to happen, you will say later, I made him rich. So I don't need it. Just keep it. Give some compensation for the food and the drink to the servants, and that's all I need. So it was quite generous of Abraham. Did he have second thoughts? Was he feeling disappointed? That King Beer would have said, no, but I just leave it with you. I don't want it. Just you have it. Second thoughts? Because the Lord is saying to Abraham, I am your reward. Why is the Lord saying that? Was he looking for a reward then? I don't know. It might also be like this. Abraham didn't care so much about rewards and about riches. Like, remember him standing on that hill together with Lot? On one side, a fertile valley. On the other side, the bare mountains. And he said to Lot, you choose. And Lot, he took the most fertile ground. And the Lord said to Abram, you go the other side, and you will inherit all things. You know, Abram was very rich, but also very moderate. He was not greedy. He was not greedy. He was rich, but not greedy. It was not like more and more and more and more. Never end to it. No, he said, just keep it. Lot, you choose. King of Sodom, I don't need it. May that be our attitude in the new year. I don't need more and more and more and more. And if that's your life, if there's something else important, if it is God Himself you're hungry for, then the Lord says, I am your shield and I am your exceeding great reward. I'm yours. I don't give you much, I give you myself. Abraham, what do you think about that? You don't want to be rich in this world, right? I give you a different riches. I give you everything. I give you myself. I give you my son. I give you my nearness. I am your shield. And I am your exceeding great reward. You know, think of someone of God's people. Someone in mind? I have some of God's people in mind. Someone who is really suffering. Do you have a child of the Lord in mind really suffering? That child of the Lord is so rich. You may say, the poor circumstances, I don't want to change with them. But you know, they have God as their exceeding great reward. Not just the reward by grace, not the great reward, but the very exceeding great reward. The Lord says, you can have me. So, no reason to fear. Fear not, little flock. Fear not, Abraham. Fear not, you child of God. Fear not, I am your shield. And I am your exceeding great reward. You know, let me just fill that further in with a few texts. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. What did David say? Mine inheritance. He gives Himself. He does not leave me with money, with a farm, and with things and stuff, but He leaves me with Himself. God Himself is my portion and my inheritance. You know, maybe you have to say, my flesh and my heart faileth, bodily, physically. My flesh and heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. You know, going to the hospital, being in your deathbed, suffering, having pain, having deep concerns, in a way fearing, but then believing this, God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Nobody is able to take that away from me. Forever. O thou art my portion, O Lord, I have said that I would keep thy words. Again. It does not say that the Lord does not say, Abraham, I would like to be your exceeding great reward. Or in the future you may receive a reward. No, right now. Unconditionally. No strings attached. I am. I am your exceeding great reward. I can give you more. You have everything. You know, if you experience that, if that's your portion, it's absolutely overwhelming. They are the most humble person, the richest person, the happiest person there possibly can be. You know, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the things, the pleasures of sin for a season, because he looked upon the recompense of the reward. Exceeding great reward. That's now, already, but also the future. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. To have that portion, God himself, forever. Thou art my God. Oh, my God. And they say, you are my people. They respond with, oh, my God. And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, as he's doing already. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, and neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. You know, when you have that sting, that thorn in your flesh, and you suffer from that, and you fear it. And the Lord says, my grace is sufficient unto thee. You know, maybe that's why, unconverted friends, you're suffering. What do you mean? Maybe the Lord is letting you know that you need something else, that you need something more, that you need an exceeding great reward. And if things are the way they are now, you won't get it. And if it is, nothing changes, you're still poor. So you have been excluding yourself, suffering friend. You have been doing harm unto your own self. Seek the Lord. Seek to repent. Seek to know your sins. Seek to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Seek him and pray and wrestle and say, Lord, there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. See, fear not, because I am your shield. And fear not, because I am your exceeding great reward. Because the Lord Jesus Christ did not receive a reward. Yes, he did. He did. God took everything away. And then he received the reward in the resurrection. And in the ascension. And he will have his reward, because he paid for that. He will have his entire flock, his entire church, his entire family with him. He will be their God, and they shall be his people. And Abraham, how did he respond to this? Our third thought. How did Abraham respond to this? He said, Lord, that's the answer. It's all solved now. I have no questions left. No, Abraham. Still wondering. And Abram said in verse 2, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? I don't understand it. I believe it, but I don't understand it. Is there an explanation to that? The Lord had said, I will make you a blessing for the whole earth. And your seed will be, and he was childless. Didn't make any sense. So maybe Eliezer, one of his servants, was his heir. No, the Lord said, no. Look at the stars outside. And he looked up and saw the myriad of stars, and the Lord said, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, verse 6. He believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Just believing that. And then again he said in verse 8, and he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? Isn't that kind? Abram was fearful. The Lord said, don't fear. The Lord said, I'm your shield. The Lord said, I'm your exceeding great reward. The Lord said, look at the star, so shall thy seed be, one thing after the other. And now he says, whereby shall I know this? How would the Lord respond to this? Well, you should know by now. No, the Lord said, take a heifer, 3 years old, and a he-goat, 3 years old, and a she-goat, 3 years old, and a pigeon and a turtle dove. And butcher them and slice them in half. So you have a left part and a right part. And put those pieces over against each other. So half the heifer on this side and the other half on the other side. And the he-goat, half of this side, half the other side. Only the pigeon and the dove, they can just be undivided. And just make a path in between. What's the sense of that? That's so strange. No, not those days. It was normal. It was a time without lawyers and courts and senators. So when two kings or two tribes made an agreement, made a pact, made a covenant, it was normal that it divided those animals in two pieces and that the two parties, King A and King B, walked together through the path. Or first the one and then the other. And then swore, I mean, made an oath and say, God may split me in half if I don't do what I promised. So you first, you promised, and King A goes to the path. And now it's your turn, he goes to the path. And they shake hands and they say, see, this was an official ceremony that we have a covenant, that we have a deal, they have an agreement, and we keep it. So now the Lord had said to Abraham, let us make a covenant. I would like to confirm it, that I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward. So you see the path in between those pieces? And now what's happening? Does the Lord say, you go, Abraham. You go to the path, you promise me. Think it's going to happen? So Abraham would say, I make an agreement with the Lord. I promise. Is it going to happen? Or both? Would God himself go through those pieces? Really? Would God say, I condemn myself if I don't do what I have promised? It would be so strange if God himself will go through that path. So we see that path, and Abram is sitting there looking at it, and scavengers, vultures are coming down, and he chases them away. As it's getting later in the day, it becomes dark, and he falls in a deep sleep, and he sees something later that night in the dark. But he sees that a burning fire is going through there. You can see it in this chapter. Burning fire. It's in verse 12, I believe. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, and horror of great darkness fell on him. And the Lord said to Abram, know of a surety that I see to you a stranger in a land that is not theirs. And 17, and it came to pass that when the sun went down, it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace, and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. What is that? The Lord appeared. And yes, the Lord says, I go through the path. I make an oath. I say, as I live, I promise. And Abram, I'm not asking you to go through the path. I'm not asking you. I go myself through the path. That's enough. I save my people from their sins, and I'm not waiting for their agreement. I continue in my work and save the people for my own name's sake and glory. I don't depend upon their faith. I don't depend upon their willingness. I don't depend upon their repentance or anything. I go through the path, and there will be a Son of God. There will be a Savior, and I will be their exceeding great reward, because I want them to. It's my choice. The Lord says, I will, and they will. And that's how the Lord also speaks today. The Lord says to his church today, fear not, little flock. It's for your Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. I will be, no, I am your shield. And I will reward you, no, I am your reward. No, your great reward. No, your exceeding great reward. I am. See the stars and see the burning furnace going through the path? I promise. And that's the hope also today. Also for the future in the year 2019. Also church-wise, salvation-wise, the Lord says, I continue. I will continue. I'm going to save people from their sins because I want to. It's his eternal good pleasure. And that's the hope that salvation does not depend upon a pastor and an elder and a deacon and a parent and a grandparent. It's the Lord doing all the work. He deserved it. He paid the price himself. And can you say this? Can I make a link? I'm not 100% sure, but I just would like to show you something. You see that burning furnace going through the path and those pieces on both sides? I can't help it. But I have to think of the death of the Son of God. Right? the deathless Son of God. It is so crucial. That is the foundation. He paid the price. And for that reason, I have hope. Also the new year. Fear not, little flock. And don't keep excluding yourself. I asked yesterday the young people, open that Bible on your knees and read those verses in Psalm 130. Did you do that? If you haven't done it yet, do it today. Seek the Lord before it is too late. Amen. Let's close Thanksgiving. Wonder doing, faithful God, in thy goodness thou hast given us thy word, thy precious word, so powerful, so sweet, so special, always new and fresh again. But may we cherish it, and may we also be comforted by it and instructed through it. Lord, be mindful of all of us, of the entire congregation, of all the visitors, known and unknown to me. Lord, may we all come to terms with this and receive that real hope, that real comfort to not fear. We ask this all in the forgiveness of our sins. Remember us throughout this week. In Jesus' name alone, amen.